Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
All right, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a brilliant poet, political activist, academic, MC, and podcast host of the Must Listen Hood Politics with Prop on Cool Zone. It's the brilliant, the talented Jason Petty, a.k.a. Propaganda!
What up, y'all? I might as well continue the tradition here. You know, this is Propaganda, a.k.a. only when I get an email from Anna.
I'm on the Daily Zeitgeist. My name is Prop. I host Hood Politics with me. I sell cold brew coffee.
That's Prop, courtesy of me. Damn. You know what I'm saying?
That was a joint right there.
Man, I was like, listen, I keep them in the holster, like a true MC. Yeah. I keep them in the holster.
How many writtens do you ever, like, if I'm sure, you know, you go to freestyle battles and stuff. How many writtens would you have in your back pocket?
Man, I mean, I come from the age where you're not supposed to have.
I know, back pocket.
You know what I'm saying? But you get like, it's more like you have like a grab bag of like 4-bar, 8-bar,
something to
like
finish off
things in there. If you get lost, you can pull something out of there.
Right.
But like a full verse, someone's going to catch you.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can never come back.
Yeah. I remember being like really disappointed when I used to think like mixtape freestyles were actual freestyles.
No.
Like back in the day, I'm like, no, they're workshopping like other material that's going to end up on a track. And for the real heads, you're like, that was on that.
I heard that line.
Yeah. That was on that Green Lantern mixtape. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They were workshopping it.
That kind of goes to like what we're going to talk about later on.
Yeah.
That attitude.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we get there.
For sure.
All right. Well, what we are talking about today is hip hop. It is the 50th anniversary. We're going to just talk general thoughts.
Musings.
How'd it go? 50 years in.
Yeah.
So what do we think?
We liking it?
We just listened to some hip hop and we're all getting back together.
What do we think?
What is something from your search history?
Well, it's pretty dark. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Yeah, it's not even noon yet. Let's go.
Yeah, let me just think about that J.K. Rowling joke real quick. Okay, right. I'm ready. JK.
Get to a good place so I can bring you all down.
Right. Yeah.
So my last week in news, I tried to pitch this story that we never were able to do because we didn't get a call back. But I was living and working in Baltimore at the time, and the like beloved giraffe at the zoo died. And I wanted to know what they do with zoo animals when they die. Like, do they have a giraffe funeral? Right. Do they bury them? Is there a giraffe graveyard? Like, what happens to them? And we never got a call back. And it's been bothering me for years. So very recently, I Googled it. And apparently, they all get cremated, but not for reasons that you might think. They get cremated so that people can't sell their body parts, like, on the black market.
Oh, right. And get, like, a giraffe skeleton. You're like, nobody's getting this skelly.
Right. If we can't have it, you can't either.
Wow.
So that is so selfish. I want to buy a giraffe skeleton. No, I'm just joking. That's,
you must have very tall ceilings in your apartment.
Do they have horns? Yeah. What's the shit on the top of their head?
Yeah, some of them have like those little guys.
Antennas for Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, 5G.
Yeah, yeah. Those aren't, because they have ears and them like nubs too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my stupid question that I want to contribute to this discussion about giraffe anatomy. Giraffe head knobs. We'll see what comes up. That Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
And where can I buy them?
Baltimore Zoo.
Yeah, exactly. Google giraffe ossicones for sale. So yeah, wait,
did you Google the shopping tab of Google, or did you go image results?
Actually, on Facebook Marketplace, they're very friendly to the black market.
Right. Wait. So at the time when you were covering that story, did the giraffe just kind of pass away due to natural causes? It wasn't like a dubious,
it's
or
a drug
suspicious
overdose
death, was it?
Yeah, fentanyl's really infiltrating the zoo. I think he just died of natural causes. Actually, on that same subject, do you guys know this like famous hippo Fiona is like at, I think, Cincinnati Zoo?
I'm not familiar.
Okay.
Yes, okay, go on.
Hippo content is huge on the internet. Fiona is a celeb. And apparently, like, that's the same zoo that Harambe was shot at. So they've just done this whole rebrand with this hippo. And I'm like, no, you can't like get away from your dark past.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. Cincinnati. So are they just like cranking out stars at the Cincinnati Zoo or something?
Apparently they got a really good PR record. Team.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
When I Google Cincinnati Zoo hippo, I see that they're mourning the loss of Henry the hippo back in 2017.
Oh, 2017. Yeah. Okay. Well,
they probably killed him.
Yeah.
Father of famous Fiona.
Oh, Fiona's father. Oh, you hate to see it. You hate to see it.
They're kind of setting us up for disaster because hippos are, you know, they will kill a motherfucker. Like, real. They're very deadly in the right circumstances. So
that was like my one little kid, like, annoying factoid, I'd say. Like, hippos are actually the most dangerous, like, if like to humans. It's not this or that. But yeah. It's what they do. It's what they do.
Besides mosquitoes, that's my kid's favorite fact right now. You know what the deadliest animal is? Mosquitoes.
Because you're going very narrow for like bloodborne illnesses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which fucks my younger kid up because he gets a lot of mosquito bites. He's got that sweet, sweet blood that the mosquitoes crave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nothing like
nothing you can do.
Sitting in bed, waiting for mosquitoes to come and bite you to death. But,
he doesn't fuck with them. Be like, ooh, you know, like you could get, you know what you could get from that mosquito.
I think he does. Like when we're not around. Would be my guess.
Yes,
based on the fact that my youngest's hair has turned completely white.
Second word was Zika.
Yeah, exactly. What's something that you think is overrated?
DIY projects.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever watch those YouTube videos and it's like the guy does doing backyard work and he's like, I'm just gonna level the sand out with a couple of PVC pipes and so 2x4 and then I'm just gonna wrap it up for the day and then come back in. They never show you what happens afterward. They didn't show you like the couples therapy that man had to go into after he ignored his wife for 2 days. And so my wife looks at these and we tried to do a backyard project and it's not the same. I looked at these YouTube, it looks so easy. All of a sudden it's like 105 degrees. I'm holding like a 50-pound 2x2 concrete paver, and I'm like, I don't know how to level this sand. this was a total mistake. She's pregnant. She doesn't, she can't, hey, she literally can't help. And so she's just right. trying to tell me what to do. And I was like, you don't know how hard this is. And then cut to, we're literally
carrying something heavy around for a long period of time.
I have no idea what this is like. And then cut to, we're like yelling at our couples therapist, like, you don't even know what's going on in this backyard. It's like, it almost ruined us. Just this one tiny backyard project. I was like, these DIY videos are all scams. They don't show you the editing. They don't show you anything else that happens. How many takes did he have to do to get that level sand? I don't know.
Yeah. They also don't show the decades of work and repetitions these people put in to make it look so fucking easy. You're like, well, that guy just did it in one thing. It's like, but he's doing all these computations as he does it that he's not even describing in the video.
Yeah.
Because I feel like all the time, I'm like, oh, this would be easy if I like had actual carpentry skills. It's not just
like a master apprentice of some kind. You know, right. I didn't know any of this stuff. I mean, I went to law school. I can write. I can pinch zoom on a touchscreen. I can do that very well. I mean, that's
one of the best. We were told one of the best.
One of the best. Zoom on a best in the game.
Can we see that index and thumb? Ha!
Look at that!
Wow!
Shit.
Look at that!
Dramatic.
You're not gonna see a snap like that
that's
anyway.
The hand. That's the hand you use.
Yo, he just snapped on that Zoom screen. Yeah, man, every DIY project, every cooking thing takes me three times as much as the time estimate. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I am just so slow. I have to, like, watch it again. I'm old, I think, is possibly what it is. But even, like, I have a bolognese recipe that... Mm. I'm pretty good at. I've been making it since, you know, I was in my early 20s, and it doesn't get any faster. It's just 3 hours. All right, this is what we're doing all afternoon. Just don't come in the kitchen because I'm going to be in there being very slow. I also like listen to, like, I don't ever want to focus on the DIY project I'm doing. You know,
same.
I want to like listen to a book. I want to like,
I'm just saying,
you know, like catch up on some emails that
I'm because
the
information,
that's probably the problem, right?
The information age has given us this false sense of, yes, the information is out there, and that means you can achieve whatever it's kind of conveying to you.
Yeah.
And that's not true. Like, you shouldn't be doing these things. Yeah. Like I can't do a wall installment of a cabinetry thing just because they did a 8-minute YouTube video about it. No, don't do that. Why should I do that? It's not the right thing for me to do.
What is what's something that you think is underrated?
Okay, here we go.
Oh, speaking of here we go.
Wow, we got a baby.
The Geist child cometh.
How old is that baby?
Oh, he's about to be 6 months.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man? Hi.
Look at those cheeks.
Look at this Glacian Jew.
That baby. Oh, my God.
What?
I mean, truly the most beautiful baby.
So he's like a Pixar pretty. Little baby.
He is like a little Pixar baby.
He has like big, like goofy animated eyes.
He just beautiful, okay, wide open, attentive eyes.
Okay, you be quiet. Here, take that. Take that. Take that.
What is something you think is underrated?
A nice cold glass of water.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. So we've ice, had room you know? Temp recently.
Yeah, someone
we've
said room temp recently. Temp and underrated. That's ice in my water.
Yeah. Give me cold water.
I think a cold... Nothing hits like cold water.
Yeah.
On a hot day.
Truly.
I think it's just easier to, for whatever reason, it's easier to drink. I'm like more motivated to gulp.
Have you guys seen those women on like TikTok who drink flavored water?
Yes.
Have you seen this, Jack?
Yeah.
It's how they all make insane.
Like flavor water combos.
Yeah. And they're like improving water with these like water hacks where they basically just like mix a bunch of Crystal Light into water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it.
You're drinking
baffling.
You're drinking diluted Crystal Light or like Mio, or other people use like fucking like barista syrup pumps and shit.
Oh God. Yeah. I just can't relate to people that are like, oh, I don't really like water. I need water to like taste different. It's like, what are you talking about?
What are you going on about?
Well, I have found that the Crystal Light flavoring helps cover up some of the gamey aftertaste that you get from raw water. You know,
when you're drinking raw water.
When you're drinking your raw water and it kind of tastes like sewage because it's like just from a pond somewhere that they scooped it out of. It does help to have a little.
No, that's nutrients, Jack. Those are the nutrients that go in your body.
Just soup full.
They just get the midichlorians out.
That's right.
There's also like the raw milk people now.
Yeah. Raw milk people have been replaced by raw water people.
even better.
People wasting insane amounts of money. I do feel like we've seen some improvements in, like we were talking, sunscreen applications. We've got a bunch of stick-based sunscreen applications for my kids. Yeah. Roll-on and like something that is like a deodorant stick that just makes my life 100 times easier. And there's also the powder thing that like
you can... Powder?
Yeah, there's like a powder. I mean, it's mainly my wife uses it, but sometimes we'll just like...
Just shake some flavor
dust it on the kiddos before they go out. You know?
Shit. All right.
This is what I always say. Ever since I learned that hippos make their own sunscreen by sweating.
Yeah.
Why can't we do that? Wouldn't that make so much sense if our sweat was sunscreen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genetically modify us so that our
hippos
sweat was
also
sunscreen.
Hippos, they sweat red. It looks like blood.
That's
but
rad.
It's just a little sunscreen.
Oh, wow. Good for
I want
them.
That.
Yeah. And I like the way their tails just launch a bunch of shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like my favorite.
Vortex. Yeah. Hippos are the coolest.
Anyone who just gets to like hang out in the water all day.
Like they're in Palm Springs, just shitting on themselves, sweating sunscreen. It's the life, truly.
Just like people on vacation. But you know what? Those people pay for it and these hippos get to do it for free.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're the kings of the jungle.
Or they're you just pay in captivity.
For it.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll pay for it with your life.
Yeah, if I see a hippo in my pool.
Yeah.
Wiggling its ears or whatever.
You're good with that?
I'm going to kiss it.
Oh.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do the kissing because they... the other thing I like about hippos is that they will bite a human in half.
Look, that's what most people... That's what they do to like a normal person, but they can tell I'm cool.
Right. They respect you because you're
They'll
not
let
a heat
me kiss
seeker.
Them.
Yeah.
Hippo whisperer.
Yeah, that'd I'm be... not a hater. I'm like them.
I get y'all, okay?
Now, I let me get you. Close. I'm like one of you. I'm like the grizzly man, but for I'm the hippo lady.
Yeah.
I just want a little kiss.
You just have this. I can't wait for that documentary to come out about you and the hippos and your last journey to hang out with the hippos like grizzly man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad that I died kissing a hippo, but I had to be me.
Yeah. Werner Herzog presents Hippo Girl.
As she went to Africa for one last time, she wanted to feel the embrace of the hippo only for it to
I just want
to
do that so that when I die, Werner Herzog will like listen to the tape of my death.
Yeah.
And be like, nobody should hear this.
Yeah. The Grizzlies really like took their time with that dude. I feel like the hippo tape would be very. He'd like put the headphones in and then be like, oh, and take them off.
He's like, oh, you could hear her get bitten in
you
half.
Hear the bones.
Oh, you can hear the exact sound when her snaps in half.
Yeah, it's like when you go to a sushi restaurant, you pull the chopsticks apart.
And she's weirdly saying "wee" while it's happening. She seems to be fucking enjoying it,
having fun.
Yeah, I guess the way Jack you would respond if you were just devoured by a great white.
Yeah,
wee.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's what. Couldn't respect Quint the way he went out crying and screaming. That was
enjoy
destiny,
it, man.
Bro.
Be present, please.
Be present.
Guys, are you doing Jaws
spoilers? You're one
spoilers?
With the shark.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry.
God.
Spoilers for a movie from 1976 or whatever?
Yeah. My bad, y'all. All right.
Did you say Jaw?
Let's take a
y'all?
Quick break, and then we will check in with the happenings on Capitol Hill yesterday, including clear evidence that Mitch McConnell... The McConnell sance is over. He's an NPC. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And the border wall fundraising grift was real. And the people who pulled it off are now facing jail time. One of the We Build the Wall fundraising campaign hucksters just received the highest sentence yet for the scheme. He's going to spend over 5 years in jail. This is Timothy Shea of Castle Rock, Colorado, which makes him one of the most notorious Castle Rock residents not created by Stephen King. And other defendants had previously pled guilty and received 3 years and 4 years. Steve Bannon, meanwhile, pled not guilty and is awaiting trial. So that warms my heart a little bit to imagine maybe him reading this headline today.
Yeah. And be like, oh, fuck. He went down, Tim.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I shouldn't be a surprise considering that this was such a clear fucking scam from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I'm, again, surprised that this ended up with people having to answer for their crimes. Yeah. Pleasantly surprised by that.
He pocketed approximately $180,000 and was, you know, it was a scheme to defraud hundreds of thousands of donors. So small donations from people who couldn't afford it. And he was just like, yoink, yes, thank you. He also helped launder the money through various shell companies. So he knew what he was doing and did it badly. So congratulations to him. Is this one of the fraudsters you're covering? You guys cover?
We covered a little bit of this in between the seasons. We do these like fraud wires, which are like news stories that come up similar to this. We did it when it kind of like the earlier criminal complaints came down for this story. And I love it because it relates to a lot of other things that we've covered. We actually did last season. We started with campaign fraudsters and Trump was one of them. And one of the things that I think.
Wait, Donald?
I know. Do we need a pregnant pause on the show? Just a moment.
Cut that out.
Yeah,
Justin,
let me just go listen to that.
That's a baseless accusation.
So do we need a disclaimer? I don't want to get you guys in legal trouble here.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, I think the corporate media has done a disservice to us to a certain extent because they've chased everything, but they kind of don't talk about the boring stuff that's actually illegal. And right. So this is one of a great example of this was a slam dunk from the beginning. You yeah. invited people to donate to something that was supposed to be a nonprofit and all this stuff. And then they didn't even try to hide it. They yeah. funneled this money out to a for-profit enterprise within seconds. It was like someone was hitting their mouse immediately as the donations were coming in just to get them out of the account. There was another great example of Donald Trump during the Herschel Walker, Raphael Warnock runoff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Trump would send out these emails to raise money for Herschel Walker.
Right.
So you'd be subscribed to the Trump campaign. You'd get an email, raise money for Herschel Walker. Let's do it. And so you'd click like donate to Herschel Walker. You'd go to a page. It would talk about Trump. It would talk about Herschel Walker and say, do you want to donate? Like, absolutely. All right. So you hit one click on your thumb, right? Two clicks on your thumb. You're at the donation page. And what does it have? It has two fields. One is donate to the Donald Trump campaign, and then a field with, you could put in a number. And then below it is a field for, oh, donate to the Herschel Walker campaign. But in the two fields where you put in the dollar amount, it's pre-populated in the Donald Trump field with $100 and nothing in the Herschel Walker field.
Right.
So you're just don't, you're, you, they know people are just going to be slapping their thumbs just like I do on my targeted Instagram ads.
Yeah.
They're just slapping their thumbs really quickly and they're just going to scam their way into donating to Donald yeah. Trump instead.
Instead of getting a cool pair of UFO slippers, they get nothing. Yeah.
They get,
they get to give their money to donate to Donald Trump.
Or a Wu-Tang Clan Knicks jersey.
Oh, right. Did you really?
Hawks.
Tell
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We did that on in person.
We did that wow. in person, but I'm not yeah. going to lie. That I saw those. The Outkast one got served to me on the internet, and I was like, I between Jack and I, we honored our 90s rap basketball love.
Yes,
that's right.
But at the end of the day, there's a part of me that does feel our show is all about vulnerable populations that get taken advantage of financially. And you can't, I mean, this is going to sound terrible, but the Trump supporters are a vulnerable population and they've mm-hmm. been scammed and they've been oh, yeah. taken advantage of. Yes, they're racist. Yes, they're programmed to hate people and stuff like that for Fox News and stuff. But they are a susceptible group of people to influence and they have gotten scammed over and over and over again. It's just 74 million of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
You hate to see it. You just don't hate to see it quite as much as you do with other vulnerable populations.
Yeah.
In my case. Well, speaking of vulnerable populations, the fascists who work for Ron DeSantis, the job security is not great
nah.
at this moment. Yeah.
Turns out it's, like I said, like you said at the top, it's soul firing time down at the Florida Fash Factory because, you know, recently, earlier this week, DeSantis assured supporters and donors, he's like, okay, look, I'm firing a third of my staff because it's part of a retooling, a great reset, if you will, to make my campaign leaner and meaner to be this like insurgent campaign to defeat Donald Trump. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the people who got caught up in the layoffs was his speechwriter, this guy named Nate Hockman. And at first you're like, okay, fine, a speechwriter got laid off, sure. But if you look deeper, you realize that this guy was a fucking Nazi fanboy on the payroll who contributed a ton of articles to the National Review, was like, you know, talking all the time about like how dope Nick Fuentes is and like other Groyper bullshit, and also got semi-famous for gushing over how Tucker Carlson like called him once because he was having a bad time, I think because he was like outed as a Nazi. And it's also becoming clear that this guy was the one who not only shared a video that came out recently with a fucking Sonnenrad or Sunwheel, which is like a huge part of like Nazi white supremacist iconography that had DeSantis like superimposed on it. This guy is the fucking person who made it. At first, they made it seem like they were just sharing something from a fan, but now we find out it was coming from inside the house. And it's not clear if it's the same dude behind the other weird ass videos we've seen come out of Ron DeSantis's campaign.
Yeah.
But I like bet there's a very,
pornographic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Just completely off the wall, like weird covers of Kate Bush running up the hill, like just all kinds of weird. Like last couple of videos have been really weird, too. But I have a feeling it probably a good chance it may have been this guy, too, because of the Groyper aesthetic and just like the sort of shit posty vibe of all the videos. And,
yeah.
you know. It's not good news for Ron right now.
He seems pretty fucked, like pretty oh, well yeah, fucked. Like yeah, every yeah. mainstream media, every outlet has just agreed that he's fucked, which might be the best thing for him. I still don't think he's going to succeed, but probably needs to completely retool or do something to change the trajectory. I think the biggest problem being that he's just a fucking, he's just the least charismatic human being you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Try and communicate.
Somehow the least charismatic charisma. Nazi out there.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
How? They're usually really animated. But yeah, yeah, I think it's, yeah, again, it's having like the charisma of like a manila envelope, and also just having no one on your staff who has like any kind of real campaign experience. From what like I've heard, there's not, he's like hired people who'd say things that are not yes, you know, basically. And so I think he probably saw this, you know, this young guy and was like, hey, you're a young, can you make some cool videos that will resonate? But little did he realize, like, this guy, this kid is just like a 4chan shit poster type mentality. So, you know, the videos that come out were only really resonating with other racist weirdos and not so much expanding a base, I would say.
Nice guy, Nate. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Nice guy, Nate. He did this.
Oh, so nice.
Nice guy, Nate. What are you talking about? You know, the Ron DeSantis is like, there's this, I can't remember where I read it. It was like this chart of like his likability after the first time you meet him. And then it just like plummets after that, because right, like in the news, you see him do this thing, like he's going after Disney, and there's a certain part of the population that's like, hell yeah. And then you like me, I'm like, this guy kind of blows. He's so boring. And then if you even see all the videos, I'm not like, okay, if they don't have a professionally run campaign, they're toast, right? We got Donald Trump because of that, but he's good at the media. This guy is awful. Every video you see of him, he's got this weird robot laugh. He's like staring, his eyes are looking too big. You know when you can see the whites of people's eyes too much? That's like a huge flag. Like, it's just, he's looking too intensely at people, and no one can connect with him. I haven't seen him kiss one baby either, which I think another flag.
One thing I've seen him is wipe snot on a guy's shoulder. there's a video of him at a fundraiser. He like wipes his nose like aggressively, and then just like pats this guy who's sitting down on the shoulder. You're like, you just
arguably the most normal thing he's done.
Watching him try and like pal around with people in diners is worth like it's just him showing up at a diner and just laughing way too hard at like nothing and just freaking out, like not being able to eat any of the food because he's on like some strict Hollywood diet, but he's like trying to be like man of the people. I didn't eat pudding, man. That's sugar, man.
Yeah. Give me that cheeseburger. Okay, where's my spit bag?
Huh. Exactly.
You like peppers in your home fries?
Yeah. No onions. No onions in my home fries, please. I can't handle it. The acid is too much for me.
And no potatoes either.
What do you want? The red? Yeah, just the green bell pepper.
Just salt and pepper. Yeah.
Wait, what do you have? A warm bowl, one ladle of chicken broth, and cumin. he spices it up a little bit.
I bet he's hung out with Gwyneth Paltrow before.
Maybe.
Yeah. I bet he has.
I would sooner believe that rather than Ron DeSantis being in some kind of like Hollywood goop scenario, that Gwyneth Paltrow would have been at Guantanamo Bay for some reason.
Just like secret weapon.
Yeah, like that's where they hung out. Like, or she's like, oh yeah, this is giving me a lot. I love the aesthetic here.
Those prisoners need to moisturize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. She actually uses tears as moisture. It's like there's something about the content of torture tears that she uses to, and then she just enters the room and all the moisture gets sucked out of them and like goes into her body.
Oh, wait, I've got this great idea for a new baby shampoo. Guantier No More's shampoo.
Guantier No More's. Oh, shit. Trademark that. Justin, trademark that.
Yeah, just trademark. Guantier
No More's baby shampoo.
Baby shampoo.
All right. And then Trump seems uncomfortable.
Yeah.
A lot of people over on the right seeming uncomfortable. I feel like it's always a big news story, like especially when the Democrats aren't in the White House, the like Democrats in disarray, they're like freaking out and like wondering what to do, and no candidate is coming forward and pulling it together. And I feel like we're getting the Republicans in disarray, folks.
Yeah. It's kind of freak out mode.
It took a lot to get the media there, but I think they're kind of also being like, these guys kind of stink.
Yeah, they're like, it wasn't the part where they were talking about how they thought Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene were going to start fist fighting at any moment? Yeah. Do you think everything's all good over there?
Yeah.
But last time we checked with Trump, he was screaming on Truth Social, or rather like uploading full like 3-page PDF rants about his legal issues. Again, that's the guy's child you hear moaning back there. So that's say hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Huh? Hey.
Oh, there we go.
Wow. There he is.
Capture okay, that. It's a drop.
I'm teaching everybody about the shitty former president. So right now, you know, like he was talking about how we felt that, okay, there's obviously an indictment coming based on how much screaming he's doing on social. And whether that's the D.C. like overturning the election case or the RICO in Fulton County, Georgia,
just get hit with the RICO.
Yet to be seen. But he's clearly in give me attention and money mode right now, which makes perfect sense because a lot of the reporting suggests all these cases, not even you can just imagine, all these cases require a lot of expensive lawyers, especially the ones that have like specific security clearances and can deal with the kinds of issues that Trump has. So that's one issue for him. And also like these semi-veiled threats he's been making the last couple of weeks as it relates to his supporters, while they're very passionate. And I'd hate for something bad to happen. I know you would hate for something bad to happen to you guys, child. There doesn't seem to be like that groundswell of the MAGA freakouts that we had leading up to January 6th, although he's trying desperately to try and create that atmosphere. So now he is asking Congress to please help me. And I'm just going to play this clip that he uploaded.
Sorry, and I do just want to acknowledge that, I mean, that was crazy. So during when Miles was doing the Trump impression, he just held the Geistchild up and the Trump voice came out of the Geistchild.
Yeah, it did.
An amazing impression.
Deep, how'd you do that?
Resonant voice.
You're truly my boy. You love that, don't you, folks? He's really good. You hear that? He's working. He's doing a lot better.
He's okay, doing so vocal warm-ups.
Here's Trump begging Congress because he's V comfortable, V confident. Nothing's going on. But you tell me if this sounds like somebody who's doing okay.
This is direct to camera in front of conservatively 14 American flags.
Yeah. He's crammed 70,000 flags into one frame somehow.
Congress, if you will, please investigate the political witch hunts against me currently being brought by the corrupt DOJ and FBI. Who are totally out of control. They're not going after Biden with all of his corruption, the most corrupt president in history, but they keep coming after me from the day I came down the escalator, all failures. This continuing saga is retribution against me for winning and, even more importantly to them, election interference.
And then he goes on. They're trying to fuck up 2024. This is their version of stealing the vote. I just love the energy that it starts off with. I'm just going to play it again. Because he's like,
Congress. Congress, if you will, please.
Congress, if you will. Like, I think someone was like, why don't you just don't sound so desperate right now?
Okay.
Yeah. Congress, if you will, please.
He's reading off a prompter. Like, you can tell he's one of the easiest people to tell the difference. And he's way less effective as a communicator when he's reading off a prompt.
When he's not the prompt, he does that shoulder pivot. Like, he changes his shoulder angle.
His shoulders,
like,
yeah.
That rocking. Yeah.
And just imagine the number of people that have had to learn to write in his voice.
Yeah.
Congress, if you're listening.
Yeah. I'm sure he has notes, but I feel like he probably writes a little bit differently than he speaks.
Fewer words, slit, trim that down, more caps, more caps.
Right. But right, it does exactly. Feel like weirdly formal. Like he's like, okay, I'm doing the thing, the big like plan, you know, DEFCON 5. I'm going to ask Congress to help me.
Yeah. Which
also, I don't know what he thinks is going to happen. Throwing it back to the escalator speech, which was the one where he called a whole country rapist. I mean, it's like this is the image you want to bring back. I guess that was like a great dividing line in our country because some people watched that and were like, wow, this man's a maniac. Other people were like,
yeah, well, this guy makes a lot of sense.
Hey,
man.
Hey, I'm Kermit.
I know. Kermit the Frog.
My Kermit
went fast.
Man,
hard.
This is what having a kid does to you. It's like I just go into like some weird Elmo Kermit voice thing.
Well, he's all about like green grievance politics, you know? Yeah. Where he's you know, it's not easy being green, anyways.
Elmo believes that white men are being punished for the sin of existing.
What
again? The ghost child.
Yeah,
incredible Elmo's, work.
We don't like those takes. White men are not being punished merely for the crime of existing. Hold on,
the groundlings. What is happening?
But yeah, like so. This is just
Elmo's
one of those...
dad does have a big soul patch, by the way. Just
does he? Oh he is like one of those. He has like a Muppet soul patch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I think about
he
that.
He could have been at January 6th.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, like, we've talked about this in the past with all these stories. Like, I get it. He's being indicted. But, like, also, I don't have faith in the legal system to actually dole out justice in the way that, like, we see it, you know, be heavy handed for many other people. So the only thing that really makes me feel that this is somewhat real is just that Trump is clearly uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I don't want to say scared, because I think that's too powerful of a word. And I'm not sure he's capable of the sensation of fear as it relates to legal issues, because this man has been able to skirt, sidestep, juke, dodge, whatever, spin out of all kinds of legal issues that I think for him is just more like, oh, shit, they might. OK, you got to do your thing now. More than like, dude, please.
Yeah, although it's weird. He brings the energy of an infomercial to this plea to Congress to like subvert democracy. It's the same energy he has when he's like selling Trump water and Trump steaks. He's just like, all right, this is my next venture. I'm going to talk to Congress. And it's something's going like the Fulton. What do we call it? The Fulton indictment? Is that?
Oh, this like the Fulton County? Yeah, Fulton County case.
The Fulton County charges seem like they're coming.
Yeah.
And they seem like they're they're the ones we know the most about, right?
Like, because it was so out in the open.
Well, yeah. We've heard recordings of him trying to pressure the state's top election official to find 11,780 votes to flip the results. His campaign recruited fake electors who signed off on a failed bid to eventually replace the real ones in Congress to like overthrow the election. A local Republican snuck into a county election office to tamper with voting equipment. Those are pretty big.
And they're all talking too. None of them were like, it ain't some Omerta shit where they're like, yeah, nice try. I ain't saying nothing. I'll do a fucking 10 year stretch on my head. No, they are talking. And again, like we said, the second Brad Raffensperger came out from like Georgia to be like, I don't know if y'all know what this guy just tried to make me pull. I was like, well, yeah, I don't know. I don't
Republican.
Know what else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what other investigating will need to be done. But hey, here we are.
The thing that I think always he gets like exonerated on all the times in some of these cases is like, his mental state and what he was doing were different. He didn't intend on doing any of these things. Like, I think the January 6th thing, he may be able to get off for inciting violence because he's like, I'm just talking. But these other things where it's like the classified document where they now have him on recording saying this is a classified document that I'm not allowed to declassify. This recording where he's talking directly saying, I don't think this was right. You should do this. These all speak to like his intention and what he wants someone to do. Mm-hmm. And then the act is the act. Everyone gets it. And so that, I think, gives me faith in the judicial process when it comes to this kind of stuff. Where I don't have faith in is like when there's a jury that can be influenced by a narrative in a very clear way, right? Like, he was just motivating people to use their powers of peaceful protest.
Yeah.
I could see a jury just being like, whoa, you know, and it's all Kermits. And so,
all juries are Kermits.
And so, that's why I think these ones are interesting. And I like how they waited at least a while to come down with these indictments. You got to really get dialed in if you're going to do this.
Yeah. I think that's like you can already see just sort of with Judge Cannon in, you know, South Florida, how she's already beginning to influence things with her, you know, love of Trump. But yeah, like it's these other cases that seem, again, where it has much less wiggle room, especially again, like for this Fulton case where like most people saw this without having to like, you know, go through the process of like discovery or investigating or anything. Like,
yeah.
I remember that. I remember hearing that. I remember seeing that. Sure.
Not going to lie. A lot of people saw that. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll talk UFO hearings.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And if I seem a little distant, it is because I'm coming to you from the like 15 seconds in the past. For some reason, there's a fucking long ass lag that is happening. I'm
pay
like,
that bill,
hearing
man.
Everything everybody says 10 seconds later. I apologize to our guest. I apologize to my parents. I'm better than this. I promise.
Didn't apologize to me, though.
I apologize to Miles, of course.
Okay,
but I just feel like you're forward. Used to it at this point.
The non-apologies? Yeah. A little too used to them at this point.
All right. Should we talk Oppenheimer? Well, I don't think, Miles, you haven't seen Oppenheimer yet.
Nah. This week, though. This week, I will go to look at Cillian Murphy's spooky face in IMAX, I think.
Spooky face? I need his Botox beautiful face. What are you talking about?
Wait, hold on. Okay, wait. What? So you, Cillian, he doesn't look haunted as fuck to you?
Yeah, but maybe that's my thing.
Okay, I'm just making sure we're seeing the same thing. I'm not knocking you if that's what you're into, but I'm like, he haunted. But I get that. Then that's why he stays working, because you can't fake that face.
I like a good hollowed out husk of a man, personally.
Yeah.
That turns me on.
Great.
Have you seen the picture where people like took pictures from the front row of the IMAX? And it's like, it's just so warped. Because
like
it's just a wall-sized close-up of his face. And it's like, man, his right jowl is really the star of this shot.
They shouldn't sell seats that close to the fucking screen. Because I saw Barbie in the second row, and I was definitely testing like the limits of like what is too close to a screen. Because it was like a bigger screen, and I was like, my head was like jerking around, but then also like the perspective does shift a bit when the viewing angle is so acute. Anyway, why am I going to complain to the capitalist theaters to be like, sell less seats, okay? To make the experience better for everyone.
Fine. If you just stand on your seat and in an athletic position and then just look back and forth really fast the whole time, that helps.
Yeah. Blends into one image.
All right. So Oppenheimer, as we mentioned on our weekend digest, is making way more money than anyone expected. Currently has 94% approval rating from critics and audiences on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's coming under some heat for some things that it just kind of glosses over.
Yeah. I feel like this week I've seen nonstop articles about like what the movie gets right and what is made up, or other things like here's the real Oppenheimer story, or things you probably didn't know were not there in the Oppenheimer movie. That seems like to be a lot of taking up a lot of space right now as people watch it.
Are the articles like they actually dropped those bombs on Japan? It's fucked up. Like, do you see how big those things were and like super hot?
I don't know if you know this, but like those bombs like killed a lot of people after. It wasn't just him having sex with Florence Pugh all the time.
Like in front of Congress.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I guess Oppenheimer illustrates the devastation and his guilt only through like subjective visions that Oppenheimer has. The whole movie is told from his perspective.
Right.
It like stays on the perspective of Oppenheimer himself, which conveniently allows a movie about one of the greatest horrors in modern history to be blockbuster entertainment for mainstream audiences.
Right. It's like, but he was so conflicted when he made it, though.
Yeah.
Just so you know. But also people's shadows were burnt into concrete from the blast.
But he felt bad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, hot take, I feel like it's almost like going to McDonald's. Like, I don't go to McDonald's to feel good. Like, yeah, I don't think anybody's going to Oppenheimer to, like, learn history. Like, you're just learning about this weird dude.
Yeah, I think it on some level, like, I get that, like, as a work of, like, entertainment, it's like, okay, there's plenty of, like, bummer shit you could watch if you really want to, like, drill down into, like, the atom bomb and shit like that. But I think for, like, when you're talking about someone who's what they gave to the world and you kind of avoid like what that actually ends up being, then it feels a little bit like, well, are you telling the whole story to just kind of focus on him there? Because I think there is so much complexity there that you can make like a good story out of. But I get why people be like, huh, you kind of gloss over like where all that work led. But OK.
Yeah. Big part of the story.
Yeah.
So one of the details that our writer JM kind of points out also gets glossed over in addition to the dropping of the bombs in Japan is the land in Los Alamos where the Manhattan Project was based was like, first of all, forcibly secured and indigenous and Hispanic communities were relocated. Lands were seized by armed soldiers who showed up with letters written in English that like the people who lived there couldn't understand because they sent no translators. And part of the like reasoning that the military and Oppenheimer specifically used to pick Los Alamos as the site of the Manhattan Project was because competing sites such as in Utah would have meant evicting white farmers. And they also saw the dispossessed Hispanic and indigenous residents as a potential, quote, cheap labor force for the Manhattan Project.
Oh, my God. So they're like, OK, once they're displaced, they're going to be desperate enough to come work for us.
Yeah. So like, even if you're centering his point of view and like his decision making going into this, it is like you are having to do a lot of work on his behalf to just make him seem humane. And the big thing is like, and this part feels wildly cinematic, like the sort of thing that Christopher Nolan would have to explicitly be like, man, that would be an amazing thing to show, is that like they knew the area around the Trinity test site was like far from uninhabited. So there are like all these communities who lived around the like where they set off the explosion who were not warned about the dangers of the experiments. And like, so there's like dozens of families within 20 miles. And these are like largely poor families and ranchers and farmers. And there were like all these storms on the day that they were supposed to conduct the test. And a physicist warned Oppenheimer that this could be a catastrophe. And Oppenheimer relayed this message to the military by saying, the weather today is whimsical.
Oh, it'll whimsically carry radioactive fallout miles away. Is that what he means?
Yeah.
Very whimsically? Yeah. Oh, the whimsy of radioactivity. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. He had that cool quote about being become death, destroyer of worlds, burning a hole in his pocket. And he was like, I got to use this thing, man. Like, this is going to fucking rule when we set this thing off.
Dude, you got to put, you know how thick the glasses are you got to put on to even fucking look at it? It's going to be fucking wild, bro. I love, though, too, that the guy who told him that was Enrico Fermi.
Who?
Yeah. Yeah.
Enrico of the Fermi paradox for people who like to talk about like space life out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Make a story about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
So just a little like scene that was omitted. So a meteorologist warned that the weather that morning was likely to spread fallout far and wide over New Mexico's civilian population. Right in the middle of a period of thunderstorm, the meteorologist complained in his journal of the scheduled test. What son of a bitch could have done this? And so as the storm raged in the hours before the test, Fermi warns Oppenheimer there could be a catastrophe. Oppenheimer took a break from reading the poetry of Baudelaire to relay to the military the weather is whimsical thing.
I love that.
He's fucking reading poetry, like just being, as he's about to like end the lives of people and like, you know, poison generations.
Right, right, right. Because, yeah, the fallout is like still a legacy to this day. I definitely know about
it. Yeah, it affects people's DNA. Yeah.
Also, that quote is so corny. Like, why? Like, I don't know. If you're like quoting the fucking death thing, like that guy shouldn't be allowed to make decisions. I don't know.
right. He's like, but he's going to help us flex our power on the communists. That's the real big part of this, too.
Yeah. So they went through with the test. It was essentially a dirty bomb by today's standards because it like didn't succeed that well. I think only there was like 20% of it that didn't go off, or maybe it was only 20% went off.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20% of the core went off and the rest was, you know, scattered across New Mexico and beyond. Literally ruined a batch of film at a Kodak factory in Indiana.
That's close by, based on my rough geography and knowledge of the United States. So they're in New Mexico and it blew all the way to far.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What?
Oh, boy. That's 1,267 miles from the middle of New Mexico to Indiana. Okay, so...
That's middle America.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. And like that wasn't as far as it went. That was where it went and ruined a batch of film. Like,
right.
That's how it was still that powerful, that far away. The military collected radioactive fallout, and you might assume that was in order to document and make decisions better, but it was totally just based on like legal ass covering. And for thousands of people who lived near the Trinity site, they were awoken that morning. So this is the detail. Like, this is the most cinematic, like, fucked up depiction of this entire experiment that I could imagine. So the thousands of people who lived near the Trinity site are awoken that morning by a goddamn nuclear blast. That a thing that, like, has not been possible, doesn't exist as far as human assumptions about reality, like human understanding,
or
has
technology,
been possible.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Most of those people didn't even realize what had happened until the news of the bombing of Japan. And their land, crops, livestock, and water were irradiated, leading to generations of people suffering from various types of cancer. In the weeks after the test, they were never advised that their land, crops, livestock, and water may have been contaminated. Like, it just feels like that's all incredibly cinematic.
Yeah.
But we can't tell the story from the perspective of the people and have to do like the great man theory of history, where everything's controlled by a protagonist who is sitting with detached bemusement and reading poetry and, you know, making massive decisions that affect the lives of thousands of people.
And millions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, Hales Have Eyes had a better, they did a better job of depicting the impacts of nuclear.
Yeah, truly, the Hills Have Eyes is a story for the people about the downwinders from the fucking Trinity blasts. Yeah. Yeah, and like, again, it is wild too, because to tell that story, you have to reveal a lot about the United States government, about how commerce works, about the motivations to just be like, yeah, we're actually don't want to displace white people. We want to displace like Hispanic and indigenous people. We don't care about the poor people downwind. And if they try and come with us with evidence that they've actually suffered because of this testing, we're just going to fucking turn a blind eye, because those people have they've never had and never will have any kind of financial recourse due to what happened there. So that's
instead they'll come work for us. So,
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, if you want, we'll test your body for a couple bucks. Huh? That could be fun.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me when my sister and I, we went to Vietnam and we went to, because over there they call it the American War, not the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And like the pictures in that museum are so much more horrific than anything you've ever been taught over here. Yeah.
It's not a GI with like a sleeveless, you know, fatigue jacket on with cigarettes in his helmet singing Fortunate Son. It's like, yeah, and that's what it was. We don't know about chemical warfare or these other terrible things and napalm and shit like that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always like, that's what's funny is like, this way, I guess it makes sense because America, like the film industry is not always going to really crank out those real sort of sober eyed depictions of what are like imperial wars end up looking like on the other side. It is going to be like, yeah, there was Oppenheimer, he did that, and yeah, maybe it was kind of like these guys in Germany kicked some butt and then they came back, and they're still just kind of like, we're not left with like a real total telling of like the humanity of war. But hey, that's for the European filmmakers to do because they have fantastic anti-war films.
Right.
Is this movie funded? Like, I know like Top Gun has like military funding behind it. Do you know if like Oppenheimer does?
I don't know. I mean, unless usually like it happens because you want to use the military's toys and they're like, fine, mm-hmm. if you want to play with our toys on camera, then like we have like a say in stuff. So I'm not sure with this one, but I'd imagine there was some consulting on some level probably. But yeah, I have no idea.
There's an election coming up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We'll see how this is used for, I don't know which party will benefit from Oppenheimer. Seems like Barbie is definitely being used by the right to beat to beat the culture wars to death. But I don't know about Oppenheimer yet.
I mean, it is crazy. Like the people who are called the downwinders who are like directly affected by this, like the fallout, like the government won't acknowledge or compensate those families.
Yeah.
Like that. Them specifically, they're just like, yep, nope, that never, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
We can't hear you. And
yeah,
so they,
yeah,
again, feel erased by history due to the film's glaring omission of their story and erased by the government. And like Biden last year extended the government's Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, but it still doesn't cover anyone affected by the fallout from the Trinity test. And some lawmakers are trying to use the movie's popularity as a way to finally change that. But so like maybe there's a good thing that could come out of this, but it doesn't seem like it's based on sort of the narrative trajectory of the movie that would happen.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I mean, we see this all the time, like just cancer clusters that pop up near like EPA Superfund sites or how long it takes for like the EPA or the government to be like, oh, yeah, that is a cluster of cancer cases that was caused by something that happened like in L.A., like where the Jet Propulsion Laboratory is, you know, where they were like doing a lot of work trying to figure out how they can make shit travel very far to just either destroy things or send things into space. That contaminated a lot of water, like in the San Gabriel Valley, that meant there's like these cancer clusters that popped up that took a while for them to be like, oh, yes, this is. Okay, so we need to put like full-time water treatment like everywhere near this place because, yeah, we were too busy like playing with chemicals to figure out how to kill people better.
Right.
It just feels like I can't imagine for every like the groups of downwinders there are, there's plenty more. I mean, if we think of how long it took for people even in Flint, Michigan to even be acknowledged.
Yeah.
So it's.
Sorry, I'm just Googling how far the propulsion laboratory is from my house. When did that happen?
Oh, right. This was in the 60s. It's fine. It's fine. You're you're completely different water district, so it's okay. It's people in Pasadena and La Cañada, Flint Ridge, and Altadena that are typically the ones that.
We don't like Pasadena anyway. The parking's terrible.
Yeah, and they didn't let black people own property till very late in the game. So yeah. We have our feelings there.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show. If you like the show, means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.